Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Linda with Soul in the City, and again, we have Pastors Mark and Patricia Douglas. I'm going to play a song. We're going to get right into it. We welcome all. I welcome New Birth Seminary, whoop whoop, as they say, and welcome you guys. Hope you write good papers. So I'm going to play a song, get your Bibles while I'm out, and enjoy and glean. Thanks.
Thanksgiving, but as you know, We are to be thankful every single day of our lives. There is something we can be thankful to the Father for. Many things. And I don't want us to take that for granted. I want us to take the time today to reflect and to rehearse. We just got out of our corporate prayer this morning, and one of the scriptures that I'm going to read today is talking about giving praise and thanksgiving to the Father, and it's talking about rehearsing his deeds, what he has done for us. So as I mentioned a few minutes ago, we want to be thankful every day. And the first scripture I want us to turn to is going to be Psalm 68 and 19. And I'm going to go ahead and read that. And it says, "Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation." And this is from the Amplified Translation. And if you notice, when you see the word Selah, S-E-L-A-H, you know what that means? It means to pause and calmly think of that. Pause. Take a break and think about what you just read. Let's read it again. "Bless the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation." Let me share this with you. When I think of a person, when I think of benefits, I think of a person when they go to work on a job, usually there's some type of benefit package and explaining all the benefits or privileges that are accessible to them as an employee as a result of working with the company. Well, the same thing when you become born again, we have a benefit package or a manual. You know what that manual is? It is the Word of God. Glory. And it is our manual for life. And once we have come into the kingdom of God, we are to live by that manual and to understand the benefit packages that come with being a born-again believer. But here's the thing. If you don't read your manual, you will not know what is or is not accessible to you. And therefore, when you don't know, you'll just receive or settle just for anything. And when I used to work as a human resources person, it was my job to train and to teach the new employees orientation classes. And as I would be training, I would always stress the importance of them, make sure you read your manual. And it would never fail. A few months later, they would come with a question, and I would ask them, "Did you read?" And they would say, "No, I didn't read it. I didn't know I was eligible for this or eligible for that." But see, in the Word of God being our manual, you'll find out exactly, again, what you're eligible for. And since he's daily loading you with benefits, you want to find out what those benefits are, praise God. And so let's go to another scripture. Let's skip over here, because if you don't know what you're accessible to, if you don't know what God has done, you don't know your benefits, again, like I said, you'll tend to settle. But in Hosea 4 and 6, it says this: "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. That thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children." The first part I want to see here or talk to you about is my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Not knowing. Not knowing your rights as a born-again believer. Not knowing what you should and should not put up with. And if you don't know, you'll receive anything. You'll think, well, this is the norm in the body of Christ, or that's the norm. No, what you need to find out is what your benefit package is offered to you that Jesus paid, the blood of Jesus, he paid for that benefit package that you have. So let's go back up again to another scripture, again, because we're talking about, we're not going to be stressing out this time of the year. And really, guess what? Just like I told you, you're to give thanks every day. You don't even have to stress out every day. You know, people put pressure during this time of the year, but hey, you don't have to be involved in that pressure package. Amen. You don't have to do that.
That's true.
So in Philippians, turn to Philippians 4 and 6, it says this: "Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything." Hello? But in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, definite request, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. But with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. And that's what we're talking about today, is thanksgiving to the Father. Every day, not just in this season, not just when you were sitting at the Thanksgiving table eating the turnip greens and turkey and macaroni and cheese and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But we're talking about getting in your heart and mind a daily thanksgiving. Because if he's daily loading you with benefits, then daily you need to be thanking him. You need to be thanking him. Turn with me to Psalms 103 and 2. In Psalms 103 and 2, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. Forget not what he has daily provided already." Now, you may say it hasn't manifested in the natural, but that does not mean he has not already provided it. It is there. I'm here to tell you. Jehovah Elohim, Creator, it is there. And you know how you'll begin to see manifestation? Is when you begin to give him thanksgiving and praise. And I've heard people say, well, you know, we shouldn't ask God for anything. Just be thankful for what you got or whatever. Well, I just read to you what Philippians 4 and 6 says. It says you can make your request made known, but it says come with thanksgiving first and glorifying him. You know, I've used this example before. As parents, you want your children, when they come to you, and they only come to you when they want something, it's like, well, here comes someone. Well, I know they want something. Or even a friend or an associate is like, well, the only time I hear from them is when I want something. We don't want to have that fellowship with the Father, that relationship. We want, because he already knows the heart anyway, but we want it to be that we're not just coming to him when we have a bill that needs to be paid or we need him to do this or that. See, when you come to him daily and giving thanksgiving, it becomes a part of your life. That regardless of what's taking place in your natural circumstances, you know, your spirit now is so groomed, it's like, hey, we got to give God thanksgiving, even though your mind is like, you've got to be kidding. I'm in the midst of a storm here. But your spirit man is so full of thanksgiving because you have been loading your spirit man with the scriptures and the thanksgiving and praise. Your spirit man, automatically, your hands will go up before the Father. You're giving him praise while you're standing in the middle of the storm. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Turn with me to Psalm 26 and 7. In Psalm 26 and 7, it says, "That I may make the voice of thanksgiving heard and may tell of all your wondrous works." That I make the voice of thanksgiving. That means you have to open your mouth and give God thanksgiving. And there are times that you say, well, I do it in my heart. But aren't there times, you know, somebody may say to you, well, you know, I love you in my heart, but would you like to hear it sometimes? The same thing with the Father. Again, he already knows. He knows your heart. That is true. But if this is saying here, I make the voice of thanksgiving heard. You know, the scripture says that Romans, faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Okay, so when you're giving thanksgiving to God and you're doing it verbally with your voice, it's being heard. But guess what? Not just to those around you, but you're hearing it yourself. Yes, you are hearing it yourself. And as I said before, when you are making confessions, and I'm talking about word confessions, you know, I shared with you how you can go to the scriptures. And you can say, for example, even with this scripture in Psalm 26, whatever your name is, you can say, that Patricia, my name is Patricia, make the voice of thanksgiving heard, and that Patricia tell of all your wondrous works. You know, a word confession. And you know what happens? the Holy Spirit will bring that back to your remembrance like a tape recorder. So even at times when your mind, again, is trying to conflict with you wanting to give God thanksgiving, you'll hear yourself saying that out of your own mouth, and then you'll say, and you'll find yourself even saying it again. So that, and faith is coming. Faith will come each time you're giving God praise, each time you're thanking him, each time that you're acknowledging him, you're honoring him, you're worshiping him, and even when you're praying. So let it be heard. Turn with me to Psalm 50 and verse 23. I told you, we got a lot of scriptures here today. I hope that you're writing them down or whatever so you can go back and look over this. In Psalm 50 and verse 23, it says, he who brings an offering of praise and thanksgiving honors and glorifies me. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
He who brings an offering of praise and thanksgiving. It's not even talking so much about a monetary of money or cash. It's like an offering of praise on the inside of you and thanksgiving. I don't know about you, but there are certain times that when I can say hallelujah, I can sense it in the pit of my stomach, in I've heard somebody say the city of my soul. I can sense it just rising up, this praise for the Father, just from a simple hallelujah. So he who brings an offering of praise and thanksgiving honors and glorifies me. And he who orders his way aright, who prepares the way that I may show him, this is in the Amplified, to him I will demonstrate the salvation of God. Those that order their ways aright, who prepare the way that I may show him, so God may show us. You know, in Proverbs it says that, to lean not to your own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. And as I've shared before, that's not just about big decisions. Again, if you start doing this thanksgiving and praise daily, you will find yourself asking the Father about little bitty things, because now you have this fellowship with him, and you're asking him about this and this and that and this and this. And you know what? As we have talked before about hearing from God, then you'll hear answers. You'll hear from the Father. And so then he says, to him that makes his way aright, to him that offers up praise and thanksgiving, that glorifies and honors me, I will demonstrate the salvation of the Lord. You know, another word, definition of salvation, guess what it is? It's benefit. Oh, yes, it is. It's benefit. In Hebrews, and let's go there real quickly. That's not one of the ones on my list, but let's go to Hebrews right quick. And Hebrews chapter 2. I'm going to read something to you there. Give you a chance to get to it, and I'm getting to it also. The Holy Spirit is so good. He just brought this back in my remembrance. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I want to read this from the, let's see. I read it from the King James Version. Hallelujah. Because this is talking about salvation and heirs of salvation. In Hebrews chapter 2, it says, therefore we ought to give the most earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how should we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? In other words, how can we neglect such great salvation? How are we going to escape it when we've heard the word, we're knowing the word, it's become a part of it. You can't escape it. You shouldn't want to escape it at all. And so the salvation, another word is soteria, is benefit, is wholeness, is soundness, is protection, is preservation. So let's go back to that scripture that I was reading in Psalms again. It says this, he who brings an offering of praise and thanksgiving honors and glorifies me, and he orders his way upright, meaning you're choosing to do the right thing. You know, character, the definition of character is doing what's right, even when nobody's looking. Oh, hello.
Mm-hmm.
Doing what's right when no one else is looking. Can you do that? That's character. Because you know what? Even if you think no one is looking, the Father is watching. Hallelujah. He's watching. So who prepares? In other words, you said it in your heart. You said it to say, you know what? I want to do what's right. I want to do what's right according to the word of God. To him I will demonstrate. I will show the salvation of God. Demonstrate to show how to do. I will show them how to do this according to the word. It's like the Holy Spirit said. I will show them how to walk in love. I will show them how to forgive. I will show them how to not walk in offense. And you know what offense means? Offense means that you end, you get off the word and you end the process. Mm-hmm. So let's now turn with me to Psalm 69 and 30. Psalm 69 and 30. Glory to God. So we're talking again about praise. Thanksgiving to the Father. And while you're turning there, Hebrews 1 and 14. And in this scripture, it starts with 13, it's saying, are they not all ministering spirits, talking about angels, sent forth to minister to them who shall be heirs of salvation? Who are the heirs of salvation? Every born-again believer is an heir. Heir for the benefits, heir for protection, heir for completeness, heir for wholeness and abundance in your life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In Psalm 69, 30, it says, but I will praise the name of God with a song. I will do that. See, you can't wait for somebody else to help you give God thanksgiving and praise. Okay? And when you come to church or when you come to the assembly or when you come to fellowship, in the body of Christ, you all come together. You bring your portion. You bring your supply. It's just like if you go to a family dinner, and as I told the church, and they say, come to the dinner. And they done told you, invited you to come, but you sitting back, well, are we going to eat? What's going to happen? Do I need to do? And it's just, you come. And so just imagine, envision this, that the Father God, that when you're coming together in the assembly, for an example, your sons and daughters of the Most High God coming to fellowship with the Father. But each of you are bringing your own supply, your own anointing. So you can't wait sometimes to get to the, quote, the church house. You got to begin to thanksgiving and praise within your home, within your heart, in your car, wherever. That has to be a daily thing that you do. And then when you come in the body corporately, it is awesome. So Psalm 69, 30 says, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. And some people say, look, Pastor Patricia, I can't stand a lick. Hey, it's not about the tone and if you hit the key. You understand what I'm saying? It's about you could be in the shower or you could be anywhere, and all of a sudden a scripture is coming to your heart, but it's coming forth as a song. What do you think that would do to the Father? He knows whether or not you can hit a tune, but he's not concerned about that. Glory. Thank you, Father. And let's go to Psalm 95 and 2. Psalm 95 and 2. It's awful quiet out there in blog radio today, but I know you're getting it. Praise God. In Psalms 95 and 2, let us come before his presence with what? Thanksgiving. Not murmuring and complaining and fussing. Why ain't, and when you going to do, and how long is it going to take you, and I've been waiting. I don't think you're going to get the right response with that. But when you're able to come before in his presence with thanksgiving, even if you're honest and you're saying, Father, in my natural, I may be feeling this, but I desire, my heart is to give you thanksgiving. And see, even when you lift your hands, men and women of God out there, a lot of times it's not about feeling anyway. It's not about feeling. And sometimes you just have to. You have to tell your body, you're going to give God thanksgiving today. It's a scripture I believe in Psalms that it says, and I'm paraphrasing, soul, why are you cast down? What's wrong with you? In other words, mind, what's wrong with you? You're supposed to be blessing the Lord, giving him glory, giving him praise. See, you have to talk to your mind because your mind will definitely try to talk to you. But you have to talk to your mind with the word of God and renew your mind. Again, I give the illustration. You may be in the midst of a storm and your mind, your flesh is saying, look, go in that corner and pout, this, that, or whatever. But when you begin to build a relationship with the Father, it's like, no, I think I just want to declare that the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all I need. Amen. Matter of fact, listen, let's turn to that scripture, Psalm 23. And may I add, this is not a scripture just for homegoings and films. This is not what this is for. This is really a scripture of encouragement and prosperity and abundance. Okay, turn to Psalm 23. And I want to read it from the Message translation. Praise God. And it says this, God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing. You have bedded me down in lush meadows. You find me quiet pools to drink from. True to your word, listen to this, you let me catch my breath and send me in the right direction. Hallelujah. He lets you catch your breath. Because I can hear some of you all out there, it's like, if I could just catch my breath for a minute. Okay, even when the way goes through Death Valley, I'm not afraid. When you walk by my side, your trusty shepherd's crook makes me feel secure. You serve me a 6-course dinner right in front of my enemies. You revive my drooping head. My cup brims with blessings. Your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life. I am back home in the house of God for the rest of my life. Isn't it your beauty and love chase after me every day? You know, remember in Deuteronomy 28 when it's talking about the blessings of the Lord? If you look up different translations of that, it says, the blessings of the Lord are running me down. They're in hot pursuit of me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In hot pursuit of me. So go ahead. Do you have something you want to say?
You know, another translation on Psalms 23 and 6, it says that, your love and your grace and your mercy tracks me down as a hunter tracks down his prey. That means God is in hot pursuit after you. He enjoys your praise and he relishes it. He thoroughly enjoys your praise. And he tracks you down just to give you benefits, to load you with benefits. And my wife was saying earlier, it is good. The word of God is good. The presence of God is good. And, you know, oftentimes, like my wife made mention earlier, this time of year people tend to be having issues going through. In fact, psychologists say people tend to be depressed during this time of year. Well, we want you, and some of those people are Christians. They claim to be children of God. We want you to be encouraged because God enjoys your praise. Just lift up a praise before Him. Give Him praise. In Hebrews 13 and 5, it says that giving God the sacrifice of praise, and oftentimes we've heard that as we're praising God even though we don't really want to, we're going to praise Him. But what that scripture is actually talking about is that is your offering. That is what you're giving God. That you know, oftentimes when we hear offering time, we hear about money. But the sacrifice of praise, that was the best that that individual may have. That was their sacrifice. That was what they were offering God. That was what they are giving God. When you give God a sacrifice of praise, He accepts it. He accepts it readily. And one of the reasons why He does that is because, you know, we have a choice whether or not we're going to praise God. We choose. And when we set our will to praise God, God honors it. When we set and take time to praise Him, God receives that. We're not giving praise to our car or whatever, we're giving praise to Him. When we raise our hands, we have to engage our mind, saying, mind, my wife was saying a while ago, we have to tell our mind to, and tell our body that we're going to praise God. Well, we are setting our will to praise God. We're choosing to do that. And that's the most important gift that God has given us, is the ability to choose. And when you choose to praise the Father, again, I say, I can't stress enough, He honors it, He receives it, He appreciates it.
Amen, that's true. So I think we're going back to Psalm 95. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to Him with songs of praise. Psalms 107 and 22. This is one of the ones I really want to get to today. Psalm 107, 22. And it says this, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and rehearse His deeds with shouts of joy and singing. And as I was reading this scripture this morning in our corporate prayer time, I started thinking about it. I said, rehearse His deeds. And the Holy Spirit began to quicken that in my spirit. Rehearse. You know, just like if it's going to be some type of play, you have dress rehearsal. To get prepared, to rehearse for that. But to rehearse His deeds. And a lot of times, what we like to do is rehash instead of rehearse. Okay? Oh, yeah, I know it's quiet out there now. It seemed more easier to keep talking about what the wrong that was done to you than to give thanksgiving and rehearse and praise what God has already done for you. And so we know the rehearse. In the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, it means to say again. It means to repeat, to recite. It means to recount in order, to give a rehearsal of. In other words, it's like to say again, to remember. And so when you think about it, He said rehearse His deeds. Rehearse what God has done. That right there is thanksgiving.
Yes.
When you sit down and you begin to think about where you were maybe at the beginning of this year, where you were 5 years ago, 2 years ago, why not bring it up to date, where you was yesterday? You know what I'm saying? I mean, we ain't got to go too far back, you know, because surely the Lord has done something for us even yesterday, right?
Hallelujah.
So rehearsing His deeds. And that's another thing. Think about, as I said at the very beginning of this broadcast, reflect on this year in the way of reflecting of God's thanksgiving, giving God thanksgiving, not rehashing. If you're going to think about the negative, then think about how God delivered or brought you through it or what he did in the situation. Think of, rehearse his deeds. Balance it out. Okay? In other words, if the thought is going to be, well, I remember what happened on my job in March. They did me wrong. They laid me off. However, I rehearse his deeds that I still have a place to stay. I still have food on the table. I still have my life, health, and strength. So rehearse his deeds. Rehearse his benefits towards you.
Yeah. Oh, great.
Psalms 119 verse 171 says this: my lips shall pour forth praise. Let me tell you a little secret. No one else can praise and thank God like you can. Individually. You know what the Lord shared with me some years ago? I woke up one morning and I just, you know, began to pray. And you know what the Father said to me? He said, I have waited all night long for you to get up just to hear your voice. I thought, really? He said, because, you know, I know you had to sleep. He said, but I was just waiting to hear your voice in the morning. And so, you know, I said the typical religious thing at that time. Well, Lord, you know, you got so many people. I mean, you know, my voice surely. And it's like, no, everybody's voice is distinctive to me. And I know my children. I know my sons and daughters. So, you don't think that you're just, well, I can't make a difference. I'm just, you know, whether I pray or not. You know, he's got so many people that's putting their orders in now, especially December, this holiday season. You know, how shall he hear? He'll hear a thanksgiving and a praise very quickly, let me tell you.
Yes.
My lips shall pour forth praise with thanksgiving and renewed trust when you teach me your statutes. My lips. And then in the Message translation, it says, I'm going to let you read that, honey. What is the Message translation that says?
The Message translation says, let praise cascade off my lips. After all, you've taught me the truth about life.
The truth about life. See, we got a lot of books out there. Hello, do I want to get on this subject? Yes, I think I do. We have a lot of books out there that's trying to tell you about life. Life, life, life. And all I'm saying is, hallelujah, I almost shouted, took off running. But if I did, my husband would take over. We have the word of life. We have that manual.
Yeah.
And let me share this scripture. You all hold that place that my husband said, and let's go to Ephesians 2 and 10, because I want to read something to you. See, let me tell you something. If you don't read the word, you don't know what is in there.
That's right.
And you may think there's nothing in there about life. There's nothing in there about the good life. There's nothing in there about how to raise your children. There's nothing in there about how to have a healthy marriage. There's nothing in there about having a healthy body and relationship. That's what you think if you don't read your manual. But I'm telling you, everything pertaining to life and God, everything that you need to know, desire to know, should want to know, is in the Word of God.
Yes, it is.
Now, that's a book that's a bestseller. And you can write that down, glory to God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. It's yes, it is. Glory to God. It's always going to be a number one seller. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Now, I said, turn with me to Ephesians 2, chapter 2. Y'all ain't got me excited. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Because, listen, you have to know, and I'm going to say this too, when you're purchasing books to read on life or raising children or whatever, listen, make sure it lines up to the Word of God. Because a lot of people have different ideas and opinions that sound really good, but it's not according to the Word of God. Okay, so Ephesians 2 and 10, and I'm reading from the Amplifier. And you tell me what y'all think. For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, he planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life, which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. So you come telling me that God doesn't want his people to enjoy the good life? The devil is a liar. That is not true. And any books that tell you, no, the Heavenly Father, Jehovah God, he does not want you to enjoy it. The good life. Well, let me tell you something. When you leave this earth and go to heaven, you already know you're going to have peace forevermore there. You already know what it's going to be like there. So why come you can't have some of this peace right here on the earth?
It goes back to Psalms 23. It says, you prepare the table in the presence of my enemies. Well, you're not going to have any enemies in heaven. So that means they're going to see you in the good life here on earth, because you're not going to have any enemies in heaven. Bottom line.
Maybe somebody told you that when you get to heaven, you're going to have some enemies. But again, if you read your manual, you'll find out. And as my husband said, let's think about that. He's preparing a table for you in the presence of your enemies. But you know what? It still goes back to giving God thanksgiving and praise. Turn with me to Isaiah 51 and 3. Isaiah 51 and 3, and it says, for the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden. And we can't even begin to go start teaching about Eden. And before the fall, that's a long series within itself. And her desert, like the garden of the Lord, joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voice of song or instrument of praise will be found in Zion, will be found in the people of God, the sons and daughters of God. There's a praise within you. So the wilderness will be like a garden of Eden. And your desert places will be a garden of the Lord. And you know what? He will tend to his garden too. Glory to God. Yes. And God is doing some planting too. Praise the Lord. He is planting. He's planting right now, you all. Did you know that? That while you're listening to this word right now, guess what? The word of God is seed. Oh, I can prove it to you in Scripture. It's seed. So this seed, with your open heart to receive, is being planted in you right now. Your life is never going to be the same when this broadcast is over. You're going to have a different view on everything that you thought was one way. You're going to see it through the eyes of the Father. And I decree you will not be the same. This will be your best time. And I want to say this because I sense this in my spirit. There's some of you that during the holiday time of Christmas or whatever, as my husband said earlier, you have experienced some devastating things to happen. And so you have really made up in your mind, oh, you dread this time, oh, you hate it, and blah, 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 and this, that, and the other. But I just want to decree unto you, this is going to be the best time for you. Okay, because you're going to rehearse his deeds over this year. You're going to rehearse his deeds. Even right now while I'm speaking, you're beginning to think about what God has already done. And matter of fact, some of you out there now, you're even thinking about what God is speaking to you right now. And it's already beginning to change you in this month that you're in this holiday. There's already a change that's happening right now. I can sense it in my spirit by the Holy Ghost. I hear victory in the spirit. I hear a releasing in the spirit. I see in the spirit bondages, people being set free from bondages.
Hallelujah.
In the spirit. I see in the spirit chains are coming off of people's ankles and chains in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Even off of your arm that has held you to where you cannot lift your arm. You desire to lift your arm to the Father. You desire to want to pray. You desire to want to give thanksgiving. But you were so weighed down with these chains. But I decree and I say in the name of Jesus, those chains have been broken off of you because of the word of God that you're hearing now. And the anointing is removing every burden and destroying every yoke. And I'm telling you, you are free today. Hallelujah.
Glory
to God. I know, I sense it in my spirit. I may not know your name. I may not know your address, but you know who you are. You know, hallelujah. You know when you sat down to hear this program, you know how heavy it was. But that heaviness is leaving you now in the name of Jesus. I'm telling you, the word of God is alive. Turn with me very quickly to Hebrews 4:12. Hallelujah. We only have about 15 more minutes here. Praise God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Turn with me, Hebrews 4. I want to read this to you to let you know the word of God, it works. You understand? That's why it's important that you know your manual. But it says in Hebrews 4:12, hallelujah. I am so excited because I see in the spirit and I sense in the spirit by the Holy Ghost, freedom has absolutely taken over some of y'all's lives.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
This is not just another Christmas. It's not just another December. It's not just another time to mope or anything. And I come against and I bind the spirit of depression and the spirit of oppression in Jesus' name. Hebrews 4:12 says this. For the word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, the soul, and the immortal spirit, and of the joints and marrow, of the deepest part of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. Since you have been sitting here listening to this broadcast, the word of God, for those of you that are open and receptive to the Holy Spirit, Spirit of God, the word of God has been doing just that, sifting, exposing, analyzing. The word of God has given some of you energizing. It's becoming effective. And it's not just, well, that's because we listen to the broadcast, and once you all go off, I'm going to still go back in there saying, no, you're not in Jesus' name. You are not in Jesus' name.
No, you're not. And in the Message translation in Hebrews 4, it says, God means what he says. What he says goes. His powerful word is sharp as a surgeon's scalpel, cutting through everything, whether doubt or defense, laying us open to listen and obey. Nothing and no one is impervious to God's word. We cannot get away from it. We cannot get away from it, no matter what. The high priest who cries out in pain. There is nothing that the word of God cannot fix. There is nothing, like my wife said, you have to get it in your manual. You have to know what the Father has already illustrated for you. You are not going to have a relapse. You are not going to go through this again. This door is closed. We're declaring it to be closed right now in the name of Jesus.
Glory to God. Thank you, Lord.
Glory.
Again, the word of God is seed.
Mm-hmm.
It's seed. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
I tell you.
Hallelujah. Glory.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
We thank you, Father God.
Yes.
We just say, even right now, just going to take this time. And I want you all to do it too. Just with the fruit of your lips, just begin in your own way to just give God thanksgiving. and praise.
Thank you, Father God. Oh, we just praise you. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Thank you, Father God. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We just praise you, God. Hallelujah.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. Bless your name, Father. Bless your name, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory.
As we go forth, hallelujah, we thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord, for your word right now. We thank you for what is taking place right now.
Glory.
Hallelujah. Thank you. One more scripture that I want to share. In Jeremiah 33 and 11, it says, there shall be heard again the voice of joy and the voice of gladness. The voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride. The voices of those who sing as they bring sacrifices of thanksgiving into the house of the Lord. Give praise and thanks to the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good. His mercy and kindness and steadfast love endure forever. I will cause the captivity of the land to be reversed.
Glory.
And to return to be as it was at first, says the Lord. Even this scripture is talking about a waste place, a desolate place, but God has restored it back to like the Garden of Eden. And I speak that in your lives, for those of you that have been in the wilderness and the desert, I'm speaking forth that it will become and is becoming a Garden of Eden. What I mean by that is that you're being restored.
Yes, yes.
You're
yes.
being restored.
Yeah.
You're being restored. I have a scripture I want to read to you. Turn to 1 Peter. I want to show you something there. 1 Peter chapter 1. Because when I said the word is seed, I just want to show you 1 Peter. Chapter 1, verse 23, actually. I'm reading this from the God's Word translation. I have another translation. You have been born again, not from a seed that can be destroyed, but through God's everlasting Word that can't be destroyed. God's Word is seed. So you can think of it like this. Whenever you pick up your manual for life, the Word of God, let's think about it, that you're a farmer and you're sowing some seed in you. Praise God.
Glory.
I want to read this again, 1 Peter 1 and 23 from the Amplified. It says this. You have been regenerated, born again, not from a mortal origin, a seed or sperm, but from one that is immortal by the ever-living and lasting Word of God. So see, that's why I say God's Word, again, is seed. And those of you that, again, have opened up your heart to hear today, you receive this seed, this Word.
Yeah.
I have one more scripture. I have several, but I'm just going to do one more as we get ready to close. Jonah 2 and 9, it says, but as for me, I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that which I have vowed. Salvation and deliverance belong to the Lord. Those of you that got delivered today, it wasn't because of Patricia, Mark, or Linda. It's for the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And I want to offer you this today. Those of you that are listening, if you have not made Jesus the Lord of your life, if you have not invited him in, we want you to do that today. Listen, you don't want to wait another minute. And this broadcast has helped you in some kind of way, and you've listened, and it's kind of like, that's touching my heart. Sometimes people say that, you know. But listen, we want to give you an opportunity to be born again. If you haven't done that, we don't want you to wait another day. You know why? Because time is moving on.
It is.
Okay, it's moving. And you know what? Jesus will be back soon. There's a lot to do still, but he'll be back soon. So, and the scripture tells us in Romans that if we should confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So would you just repeat this after me, those of you that are not born again, or those that need to rededicate? And everybody can really say it, actually. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you would come into our hearts. We ask that you would forgive us of our sins. We believe that God is your Father and that God raised you from the dead. We believe that you sent your Son Jesus for us and for my sins. And Father, we thank you right now. We receive the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe that he is our Savior. He died for us. And he was in the grave for 3 days, and he rose again. You resurrected him up again for us, for this whole world. We thank you, Lord God. We give you praise. We give you glory. Thank you for coming into my life. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you, Lord God, in Jesus' name. And so what you're going to do from this point on, oh, I need to ask this too, if anybody out there that's listening, if you do not have a Bible, then please email Sister Linda after the broadcast and let her know. Give her your address or what if you do not have a Bible. And please let us know if it's another language other than English. This is not being translated, but maybe, you know, whatever. But if you need a Bible, please email her and let her know because we would like to be able to send that to you. Okay? So if you've made that decision today, next thing you need to do is get that Bible and allow the Word of God to begin to minister to you and to allow the Holy Spirit. And we just declare that the Holy Spirit, and repeat this after me, Holy Spirit, come in and fill me in the name of Jesus. Fill me, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. So if you did that, please email her and let her know. Praise God. One person did. Glory!
Glory.
The Bible says that when one comes to the Lord, Judah, I'm calling your name, girlfriend. Welcome. Welcome to the kingdom of God. The Bible says that when one comes to the Father, the angels in heaven rejoice. So now, Judah, this is what we want you to do, whether you came born again or rededicated, go ahead and get your Bible, pray and ask the Lord. If you're not in a church where you're getting the word and getting teaching, pray and ask the Holy Spirit to lead you to a place. We got to go. Time is running out. We love you all.
Bye.
Bye. Bless.